Stand with me today. We want to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark the 10th chapter. Praise God. Please do be in prayer for the minister's retreat. Those especially who are not on the road system don't have the opportunity for fellowship. The halls can readily relate to the isolation and lack of fellowship that some of our pastors are subject to, and we want to see a powerful move of God, that there would be the encouragement, there would be the assurance, there would be the confirmation of God and His calling and His blessing, and every pastor, every pastor's wife. Now, that's really important. Amen. The pastor's wives, do be in prayer for them. They are the ones who have company. You know, lots of times folks will say, well, I've got company, I can't make it to church. Well, not lots of times, but some of the time. That's an excuse. Pastor's wife doesn't have that. She gets the company. She provides for them, cooks for them, does everything for them, and then goes to church as well, because that special company is often an evangelist or a special speaker of some sort. But anyway, it's not a sob story. They're glad to do it and very thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. But they do need our prayers. And our 27 churches around the district, I'm hopeful that the majority of them will be able to meet in Anchorage. And they will benefit from your prayers. And believe me, your prayers have an impact. They do have an impact. Amen. So thank you in advance for praying through the week that God would bless. Amen. Mark chapter 10. I'll read verse 17 and you read 18, and we'll do so on down through 22. All right? Mark chapter 10. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You read 18. "Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." You read 20. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Oh, that's the part I want to emphasize. "Loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Read verse 22, please. Now notice, Jesus did not say, give everything, give every dime, give every penny. He just said, give. And he wasn't even willing to do that. But that was the motivation that the Lord demonstrated, was, I love this young man. Amen. And thank God that's replicated, duplicated thousands of times, millions of times, billions of times, that God displays his love for us. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt the Lord has a love for what he has created. I don't think he would make the wonders of the world if there wasn't a love or appreciation for the beauty and the wonder, the awe of all that he has done. It's incredible. But we know the scripture tells us the world passeth away. It's not going to last. You and I, however, are eternal. We are going to last forever. So when we say God so loved the world, we've got to understand he's talking about the people. He's not talking about the Grand Canyon, Victoria Falls, Denali, any of the beautiful things that we behold in the world. And the more that you travel, the more that you're aware of how amazing God's creation is. Amen. But we know it's the world of people that he loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, in that giving, we know that the cross is paramount in what he provided. But he gave his name. He gave his blood. He gave his spirit. Thank God we serve a giving God. Amen. That whosoever believeth in him. Now that also identifies who the Lord gave himself for. Whosoever is people. It's not animals. It's not inanimate objects. It's not scenic views and so on. Whosoever believeth means you and me. It means people. And that's who he loves. Now, you would think that the Pharisees would understand, and the Sadducees and all, everybody else that was in a group or in a part or believed and so on, you would think that they would be thrilled that they could make the proclamation, the world has gone after him. But that wasn't how they spoke it. John 12:19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, they held their own counsel, perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Don't you understand you're not doing any good against him? Behold, the world has gone after him. Amen. And we would be thrilled if that was the case in our day. Amen. The whole world believes in him. The whole world honors him, worships him, declares him to be an awesome God because they know by experience how awesome he is. And we worship him. But that's not the case. It seems the world is going farther away from the understanding of how great our God is. But I'm thankful that Jesus yet declared the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. Amen. The Pharisees couldn't prevail. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. Amen. Let's keep declaring how good and great our God is. Jesus said, the field is the world. And the seed needs to be sown in that field, the world. To the extent that what was proclaimed in Acts 17 and 6, as far as these that have turned the world upside down or come hither also, would be declared in every city, in every village, in every community in the district of Alaska, Yukon, and in North America and around the world. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They're right here in our midst. Praise God. Thank the Lord that God's power can be displayed on behalf of his people, and you can impact your world for good. Praise God. Consider the miracles. See, they were upset about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Verse 18 says that this caused the people also met Jesus, for they had heard that he had done this miracle of Lazarus being raised. 4 days in the tomb, decomposition and rigor mortis and all of these other things that would accompany death were already at work. The Lord reversed that whole situation, raised him from the dead, and now they're plotting to kill both Jesus and Lazarus. Just resurrected, and now they're trying to put him to death again. Huh. But the opposition did acknowledge the miracles. John 11:47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? See, they're again just understanding it. Oh my goodness, there's just so much that's going on. What are we going to do about this? For this man doeth many miracles. But instead of a celebration, there is condemnation. Instead of a parade, there is persecution. Instead of people being thrilled, there were terrible threats that were being made and hatched out in their councils and in their minds. They didn't believe even though the miracles were done. John 12:37, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Believing is a choice. Amen. Happiness is a choice. Faith is a choice. And thank God the Lord brings results of that faith and that belief and that trust in him. I thank the Lord that he provides for us. Now, we don't follow him for the loaves and the fishes. There were those who saw the miracle. There were those who rejoiced in what he provided. There were those who walked away with full tummies, knowing that it was just a few loaves and just a few fishes, but these thousands were fed. It's amazing what he provided. But Jesus said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now that was a miracle. But what they were desiring, what they wanted to continue, was their own gratification, their own satisfaction. Instead of the miracles meaning more that the Lord would bring to them, instead of understanding that the miracles were done so that there could be a love relationship that they would have with the Lord, they were just saying, just satisfy me, Lord. Just fill my tummy. Just make sure I'm comfortable. Make sure everything's going well and smooth, and that's good. And if I have time, I'll go to church on Sunday and worship you. We don't follow the Lord for the loaves. Amen. Miracles mean more than a marvelous display. It means Jesus loves you. Praise God. I'm thankful that his love would be displayed so many times in so many ways for those that he called my people. Many times in the scriptures, God says, I will be your God. You will be my people. Not satisfied just to have the wonder of creation and the incredible aspects that he brought to pass. He wanted relationship with his people. He declared, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. What an incredible invitation. What a mighty move of God that can be claimed in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that he makes that statement, if my people, amen. And then thousands of years later, John recorded, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Jesus wasn't what they were expecting. Carpenter from Nazareth, calluses on his hands, simple garments clothing him, no place to call home. A ragged bunch of disciples following him around, that wasn't what they were looking for in the Messiah. They thought there would be majesty. They thought there would be magnificence. They thought all of these things, but not someone so simple, someone so plain. But oh, I'm thankful that the scripture goes on to say, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm thankful that as many as would desire, as many as would want to be baptized, as many as would want to be filled with his spirit, thank God, there would be enough for as many as received him. Praise God. The Lord does not stop. The Lord does not put out a sign. We're all out. Sorry, you got to come another day. The Lord does not declare some kind of deficiency. Oh, thank God. As long as there's demand, there's the supply. Our God does more, far more than any economist would ever be able to do, because he gives power to become. Hallelujah. I know the newer translations say you have the right to become, but I like the way the Bible declares in the King James Version, there's power to become, because I may have the right, but I don't have the power. But God gives me the power, hallelujah, that I can walk with him and know his goodness and know his blessing. Amen. And become what he wants me to be, because I believe on his name. Amen. He loved the church. Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Praise God. And he is currently preparing that church so that he could present it to himself, a glorious church. Amen. He gave himself, the Bible says, for that church. And that's not a surprising thing, because he spoke of it many, many times. He told his disciples many, many times that he was going to be delivered to those that would persecute him and kill him, but he would rise again the third day. John 10 and 11, he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Doesn't just shake his head and say, oh no, we've got a loss. Oh no, we've got to subtract a certain amount now per head, because some of them got caught in quicksand. Some of them got caught in a flash flood. Some of them ate the wrong thing. Oh my, that That's going to affect the bottom line. No, he didn't just compute it that way. He gave himself. Amen. Thank God that he purchased his church with his own blood. Acts 20 and 28. When did God have blood? There was only one God. When did he have blood? In the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. He displayed himself in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus put a face on grace. And thank God we're able to understand how incredible and how powerful it is that he would give himself. Now on Valentine's Day, or just a couple of days past Valentine's Day, I think it's appropriate to read the rest of Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. I thought I'd get a greater amen from the women than that. Husbands, love your wives. Ah, yeah. No man ever hateth his own flesh. The apostle is giving some very strong instruction there. But rather he nourishes it and cherishes it. And so let every man love his wife even as himself. I hope special things and wonderful things, nice things, are not relegated just to one day, February 14th, but hopefully all through the year. There's always these small things, always these nice things, always these kind things, always these considerate things to show, I love my wife. Amen. Because deeds display that love. Just as Jesus gave himself. Now, this man came running to the Lord. Came running to him. It didn't matter to him that it was not a decorous display. It didn't matter to him if it wasn't a practice of protocol. He came running to the Lord. And then almost like he came skidding up to him on his knees. Knelt before him. Declaring, good master, what must I do? Good master, the respect that the young man had for Jesus. The reverence that he showed for him, Jesus, of course, telling him there's none good but God, there's one. Amen. That's it. None but one. But the man asked, what shall I do? Now, that's a real important question. What shall I do? He wasn't concerned about somebody else down the road, somebody in the marketplace, somebody over here. No, what do you want me to do, Lord? What should I do? And notice the emphasis should be on do, not just think, not intend, not planned, not decide. What should I do? That's what it's got to come down to. There were those who approached John the Baptist. There were the people. There were the publicans. There were the soldiers. They all asked, what shall we do? And John the Baptist gave them instructions to demonstrate their actions of repentance. Thank God on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out, the power of the Lord displayed in a wonderful way on all 120, not just 100, not just 115, all of them. Praise God. What a wonderful thing for all to be filled, for all to have tongues of fire, flames of fire upon them, all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there were those who accompanied them and heard the noise. It was noised abroad. They came and gathered together, and the number swelled to 3,000. They asked, what shall we do? Peter's answer, very, very direct, very plain, very simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that it's happening yet today, young and old alike. Amen. The power of God is still being displayed. What shall we do? Thank God the Lord has an answer. Thank God the Lord has power. Thank God the Lord has a way of bringing about the new birth experience. And so great salvation, not something that we can obtain ourselves, not something that we can purchase, not something that we can become educated to, but God with his great power and his great love. Amen. So the Lord answered him, you know the commandments. People complain about the church. And do not teachings of the church. Okay? Should Jesus have said, Go ahead and commit adultery. Go ahead and kill. Go ahead and steal. Go ahead and commit fraud. You don't have to honor your father and your mother. That's old-fashioned. That's irrelevant. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. What a mess. What an incredible society that would be to sink into a stinking hole of sin. You look back in the early 1900s and Russia did that. Russia wanted to do away with this book. Russia wanted to do away with God. The Soviet Union just united with themselves, not with God. Did away with this. And then they soon realized, as they reaped a horrible situation of families being destroyed, they turned that around real quick. And now even Putin has a better understanding of morality sometimes than some of the free world thinking. Huh, how strange. But throw away the commandments? Throw away no, this young man said, all of those things I have kept from my youth up. You can live for God when you're young. You can be determined to obey what the Scripture says when you're young. You can make the determination, I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm not going to go around with all of my brains hanging out and all of the other crazy things that people are doing. No, I'm going to follow what the Word of God says. That's what this young man did. Amen. Matthew called him a young man. Hallelujah. And he had the determination, I'm going to keep those commandments. I'm going to do what pleases him. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Amen. Loved him. Now, I really think that he loved him and would have loved him if the young man came and said, I've really blown it. I tried, but I couldn't. I messed up every one of those commandments. Jesus still would have loved him. Amen. Because he wanted him to be saved. And so the Lord answered him, one thing. One thing thou lackest. Oh my, how amazing that would be to hear just one thing? Just one? Is that it? I'm okay on everything else, just one? Tell me what it is. I'll take care of it right now. Amen. One thing thou lackest. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. Now his reaction wasn't to speedily contact his CPA and get it all taken care of. No, he didn't call the auction house and say, liquidate everything, man. I'm getting rid of it all because this is what God told me. No, he was sad. He was sorrowful. He had many possessions. And in his mind, he could tick them all off. Oh, my nice couch. Oh, my beautiful rugs. Oh, those nice draperies. Oh, that fancy chariot. I just got a new model. Traded in my old one, got a new one. No, he started listing them all down. And he turned away. Went away sorrowful. And the love of Jesus reaching out to him. The love of Jesus trying to get a hold of him, trying to hold him back. The love of Jesus trying to get him to take the right steps. Oh, take up your cross and follow. Amen. Amen. How important to be able to do that. Now, Saul of Tarsus, all the threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, all of the terrible things, amazing. I thought, Brother Derek, of how their letters there in Acts 15 and how just six chapters before, Saul of Tarsus had letters. He had authority. He had the means of going to arrest and apprehend and persecute and imprison those who called upon the name of the Lord. But now, here he is in Acts 15. Oh, thank God, the love of the Lord knows how to change an individual. The love of the Lord knows how to take somebody who is so wrapped up in themselves, in their own thinking of what's right, and turn them around to now that they're going forth with letters of liberty and power and blessing. Thank God to understand how good God is to everybody. And his love is for the world. Amen. Saul of Tarsus was a man who was despicable. His actions did not cause him to be lovable. But thank God he was converted. He was converted. even though he had those letters from the authorities to go to Damascus and stamp out those who called upon the name of Jesus. Now Saul of Tarsus is changed and becomes Paul the Apostle. And listen to him as he says in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life which I now live, I live by the faith of Christ who loved me. He loved me. Oh, the Apostle Paul, no doubt, would put his pen down and raise his hands and give thanks to the one who loved him. He loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Thank God that he could understand the love that the Lord would give to him. And he would declare, Christ liveth in me. He gave himself for me. Look at how sacrifice is connected with those three instances of love. God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. And for the church, he loved the church and gave himself for it in Ephesians 5. And now here in Galatians 2, he loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. What an incredible sacrifice that the Lord would make of himself. Now, Paul would write, we are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We let his love change us. We give ourselves to him. We live our lives for him. We walk in love, like Ephesians 5:2 tells us. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Oh, thank the Lord for tremendous love. Hallelujah. His great love wherewith he loved us, Ephesians 2 and 4 says. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, the apostle said, he quickened us, or he made us alive together. He raised us up together. He made us sit together in heavenly places. Oh, thank God for incredible love. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What love he lavishes on us. What love he shows to us that we could be changed and called the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. What incredible love. What amazing love. What a blessing of love that he would provide for us. And the Apostle Paul would write, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And as I read that, I thought, that's what Saul of Tarsus was doing to Jesus' name believers. That's what Saul of Tarsus was bringing into the experience of those who called upon the name of Jesus. There was tribulation, there was distress, there was persecution, there was famine, there was nakedness, there was peril, there was sword. That's what he was bringing to all of them that he could get in contact with and arrest them and apprehend them and try to silence them. And then the Apostle Paul, who was converted from being Saul of Tarsus, would then experience those things himself and declare, none of that separates us from the love of Christ. None of it pulls the love of Christ out of us. None of it causes us to cease to love him. Amen. Nay, in all these things, Romans 8 and 37 goes on to say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. And the apostle goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, all of the circumstances that we may encounter, all of the situations that may come our way, it's not going to separate us from his love. He goes on to say, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. It doesn't matter how many demons come against you. It doesn't matter what the devil devises. It doesn't matter what deceit he comes up with. None of it is going to separate us from the great love of the Lord. Nor things present, nor things to come. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already in the future. He's already in your tomorrow. He's already in your next week. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus is already there. And none of it is going to separate you from his love. None of it is going to cause his love to diminish. None of it is going to cause his love to be extinguished. I thank God that I can stand in the face of all that the devil tries to bring against us and say, listen, you old liar. Listen, you old slewfoot. Listen, you slimy old snake. None of it is going to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give praise to our God today. Remain standing, if you would, please. He goes on and says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. And what's to be my response to that great proclamation? How am I to react? Turn away like that young man? Decide, well, I've got things. I've got possessions. I've got other interests. Other attachments. That's priority. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to praise him. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise him again here today. Let's gather to the front here now as a sign that we want to draw closer to the Lord. We're not turning away. We're not going to be sad. We're not going to be sorrowful. Oh, no. We're determined we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to lift him up. We're going to exalt him. Praise God. We're going to live for him. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's draw in close here. Praise God. Step up and make room. People behind you. Thank the Lord that we can know the power and the goodness of God. Thank the Lord that we can determine, I'm going to follow that love. I'm going to walk in that love. I'm going to live in that love. Hallelujah. I'm going to return that love with everything that I have within me. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and make that commitment to God. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm going to walk with you. Lord, I'm going to obey you. Yes, Lord.
Thank you.